Okay. Anachnu, sorry. Our daf today is Kafchet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kafzayin Amabet. Hatokea l'toch habor o l'toch haduf. By the way, I wanted to mention that some people talked about yesterday, what on earth is this guy doing inside a bor, or maybe the shofar's in the bor. We talked about possibilities of maybe for amplification purposes, although that was dafka a problem halachically, because then you're hearing the echo and you're not hearing the sound. Some people use this source to show that during the Bar Kokhba revolt, they went into the bor because they didn't want the enemy to hear them blowing the shofar, and that it was, you know, this issue. So some of the academics go in that direction and talk that it really was an actual situation having to do specifically that connect with the Bar Kokhba revolt. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, Lo Shanu, Ela La'otan Ha'omdim Al Sfat Habor. Lo Shanu is always a word that are used to mean we're taking this Makor Tana'i that we have, this Tana'itic source, and what we're doing is we're saying it's only relevant in a particular situation. So what are we talking about? When they say, right? Depends on whether he heard the sound of a shofar or did he hear the echo. If he heard the sound of a shofar, he's yetza. If he heard the echo, he's not yetza. So they say that's only talking about la'otan ha'omdim al sfat habor. Only talking about the people outside the bor. Avalotan ha'omdim babor yatzu. The people sitting inside the bor, now you really see the way they're talking about it, that there's really people in this bor listening to the shofar from in the bor. They're yotzei because they can actually hear the sounds properly. Tanya namihachi hatokea l'toch habor o l'toch hadut yatza. V'hatznan lo yatza. So now there's a braita. It says, hatokea l'toch habor o l'toch hadut yatza. And then they ask a question on that. V'hatznan... I'm sorry, in this version, we're going to see the other version. That's why I got confused from it. This version says this. Rav Huna said it's only those people that are outside the bor, but the ones inside the bor are fine. And the Braita said, and there's a Braita that says explicitly, Hatukeh l'toch habor l'toch hadut yetza. So therefore, what is that referring to? When our Mishnah says it depends. So that Mishnah must be referring to those that were standing inside the bor. And then it says, Vahatsna lo yatza, but doesn't our Mishnah say lo yatza? So, elalav shmamina kidrafuna. And therefore, it must be, if that Braita says yatza, and our Braita says it depends, it must be that they're talking about different situations. And therefore, they say the only answer could be Rav Huna. Then they're saying that this whole back and forth dialogue or question answer went a little differently. In our case, the way we just read it, Rav Huna makes a statement. And then they bring a braita to prove it. And they show that because there's this braita and there's our Mishnah, it must be Rav Huna's right. The other version goes like this. Ika de rami lehu mirma. First, they brought the koshi. They said, Tnan, it says in our Mishnah, hatokeh l'toch habor l'toch hadu lo yatza. Right? If you hear the echo. V'hatanya, but there's another braita that says yatza. So here they started with this contradiction. And then Amar Rav Huna kede, in order to answer the contradiction, what does Rav Huna say? Lo kashya kan lo tan homdim al sfat habor, ve kan lo tan homdim bibor. Okay, so either we can bring the contradiction between the Braita and the Mishnah as a proof for Rav Huna's opinion, or Rav Huna brought in his opinion as a way to answer this contradiction. Amar Rav. Shema miktzat tkia babor, umiktzat tkia al sfat habor. What if you started hearing the tkia from the bor, and then the rest of the tkia you heard outside the bor, yetza. And the obvious assumption is when you heard it outside the bor, you're hearing the echo. Miktzat tkia kodem she'alem mod hashachar, umiktzat tkia la'achar she'alem mod hashachar lo yetza. If you started to hear the tkia before the sun began to rise, the amud hashachar, that's a much earlier, 72 minutes before netzach hama, which is sunrise. But it's when the sun starts to rise. So if you heard part of your tkia before amud hashachar, umiktzat tkia la'achar she'alem mod hashachar, and then you continue, the tkia continued, specifically the tkia started at that exact moment between day and night. Lo yatza. Okay, so now we have two cases. The first case in this braita says you heard part of the tkia in the bor and part of it out of the bor, meaning when you're out of the bor, you already only heard the echo. And there, you're okay, even though only half your tkia was good. In the second case, you heard half your tkiya before daytime, before daybreak, the other half after daybreak, and you're not yotze. So now they're going to say, what's the difference? Amar le Abaye, maishna hatam debi'ina kula tkiya b'chiyuva. Why in the second case do you need the entire tkiya to be in the time of a chiyuv, b'leika? And it's not. So, right, if you need the whole tkiya to be b'chiyuva, and it's not, so hachanami, likewise in the first case, you should say the same thing. Be'ina kula tkiya b'chiyuva v'leika. You need to hear an entire tkiya properly without the echo inside the bore, and therefore it shouldn't work either. It shouldn't be good. So what do they say? There's a distinction between the case of hearing half a tkiya in the bore and half a tkiya out of the bore, and between the case of half the tkiya in the morning and half the tkiya at night. So what do they say? What's the difference? Hachi hashta. You're right. It should be the same. But hatam laila lavs man chiyuva hu klal. Hachabor makom chiyuva hu laotan ha'omdim babor. So what do they say? There's a distinction. The nighttime case, you started blowing the shofar. It wasn't even a time of shofar blowing. You can't hear shofar at night. Shofar is a mitzvah during the day. So when you started to blow the shofar at night and it continued to the day, that's no good because you started in a time where there's not even a time for there to be a chiyuv. It's interesting. We're starting with this concept today, and at the end of the daf, we're going to get to this concept of, is there bal tosif in a time where there's a potential, like, we'll talk about, we'll see later, about this concept that right now there's a potential that you could be doing a mitzvah, right? That you could be mekayim the mitzvah. So here, what are they saying? In the case when you, when there's no chiyuv at all and you start blowing the shofar, so then you can't count that shofar blow. But when you're talking about you started in the bor and you ended up outside the bor, so the bor is a place where you can be yotzei. And therefore, right there, you can be yotzei. This shofar was blown where? It started in the bor, and you were in the bor to begin with, right? The shofar blower is always in the bor. But you were in the bor, and then you left the bor, right? But the shofar was being blown in a way that the people in the bor who stayed in the bor would be able to hear him the whole time. And therefore, even though you got out of the bor and didn't hear the entire shofar blow, you're still, right, you heard the echo, you're still able to be yotze, because it was in a place where there was a potential to be yotze. So now they say, we're going to do the exact repeat of what we did yesterday. If you remember, right, what's the issue here? That half of it is good and half of it isn't good, right? So lememra de sava rabba shama sof tkiya belo tkiya tkiya yatsa. It sounds like Rabba holds that if you hear the end of a tkiya without the beginning of the tkiya, you be yotze. Umimela tchila tkiya belo sof tkiya yatsa. And the same thing, if it was the beginning of a tkiya without the end of the tkiya, you be yotze. So now we have a problem with that. Why? Tashma takaba rishona umashach bashnia kishtaim em biyado ela achat. If you start blowing the first blow, right? Remember we talked about yesterday. There's, for Malchiyot Zekronot and Shofarot, they would blow three shofar blows. Tkiya, I think it was a true tkiya, and it's tkiya, right, for each one. Now, if you did your first tkiya, and then you did your trua, right? So takaba rishana, you did your tkiya. Then bashnia, the second tkiya for Malchiyot, let's say, you stretch it really long. So now they say, what happens? Umashach bashnia kishtaim. Aim biyado ela achat. Okay, remember we said there were a few different interpretations, but we're going to go with this one, that the second shofar blow that you did that was really long only counts as one, and you can't say that part of it is the first, is the last tkiya of Malchiyot, and part of it is the first tkiya of Shofarot. V'amai, tisalik lebetarte. We should say it counts as two. If half the tkiya counts, right? If you only heard half the tkiya in this case, inside the bor, and you didn't hear the other half outside the bor, so what do you see? Half a tkiya counts. If half a tkiya counts, then one really long tkiya should be able to be split up into two. And it's not. So now they say, no, that's not a problem because there's a difference between splitting up and not, right? Psuke tkiya tamehada de la paskina. We don't cut one long tkiya in half. Just because the guy happened to go longer doesn't mean we could say this counts as two halves. That's different than saying you heard a half and that half is enough. Okay? But to say we're going to take one long tkiya and split it up into two and count one for Malchiyot and one for Zichronot, that's already, we're not going to be able to do that. So the two aren't similar, and therefore we have no contradiction.
Why don't they compare it to the case of the Chatzotzrot when they talk about how their Yotzei, because the shofar keeps going after the Chatzotzrot?
That's exactly the case where they brought this last time.
Right, so why don't they go back to that?
Why don't they go back to that one? Because that one won't contradict. That one means the same thing. In the end, we also rejected that whole interpretation, that you're ma'arich b'shofar not for that reason. you're only ma'arich b'shofar because the mitzvah of the day is in the shofar, and therefore you want to make a statement. And it has nothing to do with being yotzei. First we thought, Trei kali lo mishtame, you can't hear two voices, and that's why we were ma'arich in order to be yotzei. Then we brought in all these things. How can you be yotzei? And in the end, we actually rejected it for a different reason, not these reasons, but we had a rejection of it, and therefore we came to the conclusion that the ma'arich b'shofar has nothing to do with hearing the shofar and being yotzei. It's just because you can be yotzei hearing it with the chatzot. No, it's fine. Okay, it's good review. Tashma, now we're going to bring another possible contradiction. Hatokeh l'toch habor o l'toch hadut o l'toch hapitas. Pitas. Im kol shofar shama yatsa. Ve'im kol havara shama lo yatsa. Va'amai. Just like we said yesterday. Lipuk b'tchilat kiya mekamedi la'arev v'evkala. When you start to blow into this bore and you hear the echo, the first thing you hear before the echo is the sound of the shofar. So if you hear that sound of the shofar first and then you hear the echo, you should be able to be yotzei just from that first initial sound before it's ma'arbev, right? Before it becomes enmeshed with the other sound of the echo. So therefore, and the fact that we can't seems to imply that you can't be yotzei by a half sound. Now the answer, ki ka'amar rabba b'tokeh va'ole l'nafshe. So when Rabba says this, so now we're answering when Rabba says Shama Sof Tkiya Belo Tkiya Tkiya Yatsa, right? That you hear the end without the beginning. Your yotzei, it's when he himself blows the shofar and goes out of the bore. That case of going out of the bore was when he himself does it, and therefore, so how does that resolve it? Because give me a second.
Has an echo and the later part doesn't, and he himself is doing it, so the second half will be yotzei to the second half. No?
Right, because he heard the shofar when he was inside, then he came out. When he came out, he was able to hear the shofar. It wasn't that. What did we say? It wasn't a case where people were standing outside the bore while the guy was inside the bore, and then they heard the echo. It was the case where he was in the bore and he came out, so then he heard himself blowing the shofar because there was no echo anymore. So that's why he was yotzei in this case. Because half of it was in the bore, half of it was out of the bore, but because he came out with it, so it was not a problem. So then we reinterpret that case to say he's talking about a different case, not that the people were inside and coming out, but he was inside and coming out. Okay, ihachi maila memra. So then what's the chiddush, right? In other words, what does that tell us? Isn't that obvious that if he's coming out, right, there's no chiddush at all? He obviously heard it from the beginning to the end, right? There's no echo anymore, so there's no chiddush in that. So ma'u detema zimnin demapik reshe, v'akate shofar bibor, v'kama arbib kala, kama shmalan. You might have thought that in the case where he's coming out of the bore, what might happen? He might be coming out, but the shofar might still be in the bore. I'm trying to figure out exactly how he's climbing out of this bore, right? But it could be somehow his body gets out, but it could be that in the middle of this shofar blow, you create a situation where the shofar's in the bore and he's out of the bore. And that was the case we said where you can't be yotzei. If you're outside the bore and he's inside the bore, right? So you might have thought that might be a problem, and therefore it comes to teach us. Don't worry about that. Okay, yes, a little convoluted.
Climbs up and then lies down.
Okay, now we're moving a little topic. We're getting into, we're still with shofar. We're going to talk about now getting benefit from a shofar, okay? We're going to talk about, first of all, there's an isur of mi'ilah. What is mi'ilah? You have something of hekdesh, okay? Something that belongs to the kodesh, and then you use it for something that's not hekdesh. Use it for your own purposes. What happens in that case? So it depends what it is. If it's kodshe kodshim, okay, things that are in the category of the more severe, the higher level of kodshim. So then you have an isur me'ilah. You have to bring a korban, an asham me'ilah, it's called. You have to pay back the value of it, plus the value of what you took, plus karen. That's the karen. Then you have to pay the chomesh, which is a fifth. So you pay the value plus a fifth. Once you do that, you've basically paid for the object that you stole, and that object, what happens to it? It becomes an object of chulin now. It was hekdesh, but because you used it, it became yours. Now you have to pay back, the Keren and the Chomesh, but you've taken it out of being hektish. In a case of Kodshim Kalim, which is the less high level of Kodshim, with those, you don't have to bring a Korban Me'ilah. It's asur to do it. It's asur to use anything that's hektish, that's Kodshim Kalim, but you don't have to give this Korban Me'ilah and you don't have to pay back the value of it. In which case, what do we say? If you're going to use it, it still belongs to hektish. It never has that transfer. Once you have the Isur of Me'ilah Midoraita, so then, as soon as you use it, you've basically acquired this property for yourself. It's chulin, and you just have to pay back the value of it. But when you don't have to pay back the value of it, so then it never transfers. So it still maintains its hekdesh, just you've done an isur with it. Okay, so now what's the relevance? We're going to see now. The other background you need to know is a korban ola goes all the way up to shamayim, right? Meaning, no, it doesn't go all the way up. It means it's all designated for God. That's why it's called an ola. And therefore, it's in the category of kodshe kodshim. Okay, it's more holy. Shlamim, we eat most of it, right? A few parts go to the kohen, and the rest we eat. And that is kodshim kalim. So now the question is, what if you took the shofar of an animal that was designated for an ola or a shlamim? Okay, and you used it. Now, it's true a shofar is like for a mitzvah, but you're using it for your own purposes to be yotzei a mitzvah. Hekdesh wasn't designated. It was designated for a korban. It wasn't designated to be used for shofar blowing. So what if you took this shofar of an ola or a shlamim? What's going to be the situation? Amar Rav Yehuda. B'shofar shel ola lo yitaka. Lo yitka. Okay, you can see I made some charts of these. The sheet starts here today. B'shofar shel ola lo yitka. V'imtaka yatsa. But if you're not allowed to use a shofar of an ola to be blowing your shofar because it's hektish. But if you did, you're yotzeh. B'shofar shel shlamim lo yitka, v'imtaka lo yatsa. If you have a shofar of shlamim and you blow it, it's usher to blow it. And if you did, you're not yotzeh your mitzvah. Why? My taima, ola bat me'ilahi, kevan de ma'alba nafkala l'chulin. In ola is worthy of having me'ila, right? So what happens, just like I explained, once you use that shofar, you've been mo'el, okay? It's ironic. Because you've been mo'el, it now becomes chulin. And now you're yotzei because you're using a shofar of chulin. Oh, with a shlamim, though, shlamim delav b'nei me'ila ninu, isurahu derachiv be. You've just done an isura, but in lo nafke l'chulin. It doesn't turn into chulin, and therefore you're using a shofar of hektish. And you can't be yotzei using a shofar of hektish. Okay, so therefore, it's ironic that dafkin the kodshe kodshim, if you did it, you're yotzei. And dafkin the kodshim kalim, you're not. So now, matkefla Rava. Rava says, this doesn't work for me. Emat ma'al lebatar ditaka, ki kataka bi'isurataka. What, you didn't do the me'ila. I read this one. Emat ma'al, when did you do me'ila? When does the Me'ilah, what happens? At the moment of Me'ilah, that's when it transfers. But you did the Me'ilah after you blew the shofar. Ki kataka, in other words, when does it transfer? At the moment you start blowing the shofar, that's when it starts to transfer ownership, but only like after you've blown it. In other words, the question is, where exactly does that switch happen? When you took it and started to blow, it was Be'isura. As you took it, it wasn't yours yet. It was only once you blew it that then it transferred ownership. Okay, so therefore, how could you say that? So he doesn't agree with this statement of Rav Yehuda. Okay, because he says at that moment it's still me'ila. Now, what's the issue here? So some people say it's clearly mitzvah haba ba'avera, as you're using stolen property. And that's what's going on here.
He's stealing it while he's using it.
Right, exactly. That's what's tricky here, because he's stealing it as he's... The act of blowing it is the moment he's stealing it. The moment that's when he's moel, basically. So that's the question. Does the me'ila happen, like as he's taking the shofar, or does the me'ila happen really once he's blowing it, and then he's already done the mitzvah with his forbidden property, and only after that, or during that process, it switches. So Ela Marava Echadze V'Echadze Lo Yatsa. Okay, so he says it must be that neither of them were you yotze. Okay, that's Rava's statement. Very nice, except that Rava decides right after this, or we don't know exactly when this happened, but Hadar Amar, he changes his mind after this. And he says, Echadze V'Echadze Yatsa. No, actually, I'm going to say the opposite. There's no distinction between them, because this Me'ila thing and changing ownership isn't different between the two of them. But I'm going to say that actually in both of them you're yotze. And why? And here's a very famous thing that we've learned before. Mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. Mitzvot, what's the issue of me'ila? You're not allowed to be nehenet. You can't benefit from stolen property, from the hekdesh. But are you saying that shofar blow is hana'ah? I benefited from it? Is what is hana'ah? Hana'ah is personal benefit. When you're getting a mitzvah, you're acquiring a mitzvah, that's not called hana'ah. That's not benefit. Okay, because I'm getting a mitzvah, that's something different. That's not hana'ah. Mitzvot we're not given so we could benefit from them, right? I mean, you can get into what this means in a philosophical manner, right? That mitzvot aren't given for our benefit, okay? But we're going to look at it today in a more halachic manner. That basically mitzvot, and we're going to get into this now a lot, mitzvot were not given for pleasure, right? Here, really, hana'ah, for pleasure. You're not getting pleasure from them. You're being mekayim a mitzvah. And therefore, there's no issue of this me'ila. If you use a shofar of hekdesh, you're not doing me'ila at all. You're not, there's no isser, okay? Because you're just, right, if you notice, I didn't, maybe intimated this when we started. I didn't specifically spell it out because I wanted to kind of let the flow of the Gemara, I didn't want to give it all away. But what's happening really is that when you're talking about benefit, right? A shofar, I started a little bit in the beginning mentioning this, that a shofar is for a mitzvah, and there's hekdesh, hekdesh is also for gavoah, like they're both for God. It's not like you're doing this for your own personal sake, so there's a difference. Even though in the beginning I set it up as if it's not the same, but really you could look at it as similar, and that's what he's really saying. And we're not benefiting from hekdesh by using this. I'm Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to give some, Rav Yehuda's going to continue to bring some other examples. He was the first guy who said about the shofar shel olah and shofar shel shlamim. Now he's going to say, right, and then Rava disagreed with him, right? He had the distinction. Rava said, I don't agree with you. I'm a Rav Yehuda. B'shofar shel avodah zarah lo yitka. V'im taka yatsa. Again, what are we getting into? Benefit. You're not allowed to benefit from avodah zarah. Okay, if you took a shofar of avodah zarah, you can't blow that shofar. If you did, you're yotze. B'shofar shel irani dachat lo yitka. V'im taka lo yatsa. But irani dachat, you're not yotze even if you did it anyway. My time, what's the difference? So shofar shel avodah zarah, it's clear because it's all Easter hana. You can't get benefit from avodah zarah. So now the question is, first of all, there's a whole machloka between the mefarshim, or there's issues that the mefarshim bring up that we're not talking about avodah zarah of a Jew. We're talking, avodah zarah of a Jew is a real problem. It's avodah zarah of a non-Jew that, and then you kind of canceled it. Like you said, it's the non-Jew said, I'm not using this anymore for avodah zarah, and then you use it. Now, there's some differences about what kind of avodah zarah, but let's just assume, let's leave that aside for right now. Shofar shel avodah zarah, you can't get benefit from avodah zarah, but this is a mitzvah. Mitzvah lav lehenot nitnu. So it's not a problem. What about irani dachat? What's an irani dachat? It's a city that they all worship avodah zarah, and what do you have to do to that city? You have to burn the city and burn everything in that city. Okay, it's a Jewish town that everybody decided to go after avodah zarah. So now, what do they say? Why are you not yotze then with the shofar from irani dachat? Irani dachat, we've also come across this in the past. Kitute michtat shira, because it's supposed to be burned, it's basically considered as if it doesn't exist, and therefore there's no shear on the shofar. A shofar needs a minimum shear. The minimum shear of a shofar can't be on something that's supposed to be burned. Something that's supposed to be burned is meaningless. It doesn't have a shear to it. So therefore, you can't use a shofar of Yerani Dachat. Even if in front of you it's in existence, it's in theory not in existence because it's supposed to be burned. Amar Rava. Hamudar hana mechavero. Mutar litkal al shtkiyah shel mitzvah. If you say, I will not get any benefit from anything that you own. Okay, people would make these statements. They would say, I'm taking a neder. Anything of yours, I'm not getting benefit from. So if he says that, about his friend, he's allowed to be tokea at tkiyah shel mitzvah. In other words, his friend can be motzi, can blow the shofar, and he can hear that shofar and be yotzei mitzvah. Why? Because mitzvot lav lehenot nitznu. Okay, we're just giving a series of things where you see mitzvot lav lehenot nitznu, so anything that's asur bahana is not going to be relevant for the shofar.
What's interesting, I'm sorry, is that they're throwing away the whole concept that you do have physical pleasure from a shofar blast, because the sound is beautiful. Mm. Like they're just completely ignoring that whole idea.
Right. So we're going to see now where they are willing to make a distinction. Mm-hmm. Okay? So with the shofar, they don't look at it as a benefit. Okay, and we'll talk about maybe why as we see, but we're going to get to something else where they do talk about that there's benefit and they make a distinction. So hold off on your thought. Hamudar hana'ami shofar. What if you say, I will not get any benefit from this shofar? Again, mutar litkol botkiya shel mitzvah, because again, lav mitzvah lav lenot mitzvah. The Amar Rava, he gives another two cases. Hamudar hana mechavero, maze alav mechata b'yemorak shamim, avalo b'yemorak hama. Here we're starting to get to your distinction. If you say, I'm not going to get benefit from this person at all, and then the person sprinkles on him the mechatat, okay, so he won't be tamei lamet, okay? Now, if he does it, he sprinkles on him the water in the rainy season, so you say mitzvah lav lenot nitnu, and therefore, right, he's getting a mitzvah of being purified. But lo bi yamora chama, because when he sprinkles the water on him in yamora chama, right, take a day like yesterday, brutally hot, somebody sprinkles on you the mechatat, you're clearly getting benefit from that water. Now, while the mitzvah isn't to get benefit from that water and to feel like cool down, just like you're saying, Shari, the mitzvah of shofar isn't to hear this beautiful sound. The mitzvah is to hear the sound and to have it affect you, right? But it's not necessarily a pleasurable musical experience, okay? Even though it might be. So if you would compare the two, the way you're saying it, it would actually be usher, according to this. But they don't look at it the way you look at it. They don't look at the hearing the shofar sound as a benefit, but they do look at getting water sprinkled on you in the middle of the summer as benefit, and therefore he can't do it for him, okay? Because that would be already hana'ah, even though, right, he can't get the mitzvah even. Hamudar hana'ah mima'ayan. What if you say, I'm not getting benefit from this stream of water? Tovel bo tefilah shel mitzvah b'yemorak shamim, aval lo b'yemorak chama. The same thing. You can go be tovel in there if it's the winter, but you can't do a tefilah shel mitzvah in the summer because you're also getting benefit from it. Shachule lavua de Shmuel. And here's the real case where it gets discussed. They send now to the father of Shmuel and they say, Kfa'o v'achal matzah yatza. If you force someone, you shove matzah in their mouth. Okay, matzah, there's a mitzvah on the first night. If you shove matzah in somebody's mouth the first night and you force them to eat that matzah, he's yotze, his chiyuv of matzah. So now they say, kfa'o man. What kind of force are we talking here? Ilema kfa'o shade. If you're saying some demon got into him and he ate this matzah without paying any attention to what he was doing, in other words, he forced the matzah down his throat. It was sort of some evil spirit got into him and he was spooked and he somehow shoved this matzah in his mouth. Bahatanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Itim chalim, itim shote. Kishu chalim, hareu kipikeach l'chol dvarav. Kishu shote, hareu kishote l'chol dvarav. Sometimes someone is, actually I want to make sure with it. When they say chalim here, they mean sick, I assume, or do they mean?
Sane.
Sane, that's what they mean? Oh, okay, it means sane. Fine, it's translated as sane. Sometimes someone's sane and sometimes he's crazy. When you're sane, so you're pikeach l'chol dvarav, you're treated as a regular person. When some demon gets into you and you're not acting in any rational manner, you're considered a shoteh l'chol dvarav, and therefore, what would be the case? A shoteh is patur from mitzvot. So he'd be patur from matzah, and there'd be no issue of him being yotzeh d'chiyuv. So it can't be that some demon got into him, and that's what it's talking about. So what must it be talking about? Amar Rav Ashi, shekvo'u parsim. Okay, some non-Jews came, and they forced him to eat this matzah for whatever reason. And it happened to be the first night of Pesach when this happened. He's yotze, he's chiyuv of matzah. Okay? So now why is this? Because he benefited from it. It's exactly the same thing about the water, right? He got hana'ah from this because he was eating. Okay? They talk about this mainly with the water we saw, with this, and with sexual relations. It's the same thing. If you're forced, there's still, it's, now again, nowadays, I think there's a bit of a different interpretation of rape, and that it's obviously not an enjoyable experience. But there's certain cases where they also talk about sexual relations in the sense of you benefited, and therefore the act was done, even if you didn't intend to. So we're going to leave that aside for right now, but know that that's one of these concepts that come up. The case they're using today is kfa'ova achal matzah. Okay, so the assumption here is since you benefited from it, therefore you get the mitzvah, even though mitzvot lav lehenot nitznu, right? But here, you benefited from your mitzvah, and therefore you got that, okay? So now, Amar Rava, and here, Shari, this is what you were saying. Zot omeret hatokeh lashir yatsa. If you're blowing shofar just for pleasure, and you're not blowing to be yotzei the mitzvah, but you should basically, right? You basically, just like you were forced to eat matzah, since you got hana from it, right? You basically you enjoyed the experience, right? You did it for that purpose. You should be yotze. I'm sorry, I'm confusing the hana. No, it's not the same here. What are we saying here? Kva'ova achal matza yatza, right? Now, what's the issue here? You didn't intend to eat the matzah for a mitzvah, right? But because you got hana'a, so that came in place of your intent, right? They forced you to eat the matzah, and the act was done of the eating the matzah. So hatokel ishir is the same thing. You're blowing the shofar not to be yotzei the mitzvah, but you're basically yotzei the mitzvah because you blew the shofar. Just like you ate, just like you were forced to eat. So here hatokel ishir, you be yotzei. So I say, pshita, hainuach, it's the exact same thing. So they say, no, it's not the exact same thing. Because you might have thought to distinguish. Ma'u detema ha'atam achil matzah amar rahmana. V'ha achil. In the case of matzah, what does the Torah say? You have to eat matzah. And what did this person do? He did the act of eating matzah. Now, it's true he didn't intend it for the mitzvah, but he did the act of eating matzah. Aval ha'cha zichron tru aktiv. V'hai mit'asek ba'almahu. Here it's a bit of a different interpretation, how you explain the zichron trua. But we'll explain it according to one interpretation, that basically here, you're supposed to use the shofar for zichron trua, right? To remember things, to spark up God's memory. It's a more metaphysical kind of blowing shofar, right? It's not the same as a physical act of eating. Something's supposed to happen when you blow the shofar, right? It's a zichron trua. And this guy was just blowing shofar, like tooting his horn. It's not the same act. Eating is the same act, whether you eat because you're forced or you eat because you're not forced. Now, again, talk to a culinary expert. They might say, no, it's a totally different experience. But let's stay out of that realm. But when it comes to doing a mitzvah of shofar, that's a different story. And this guy wasn't intending at all to blow for the shofar purposes. So kamashmalan. So therefore, he has to tell you that hatokel l'shir yatzah, because you wouldn't know it 100%. So now what we have is, we have this mitzvah of the matzah, that if someone forces you to eat the matzah, you yotze. Now we have the shofar, if you're tokel ishir according to Rav Yatza. So now they make this assumption, and they say, which is a reasonable assumption, from here we can learn, Alma kasava rava, mitzvot ein srichot kavana. What do you learn from here? You don't need kavana when you do a mitzvah, because he says, hatokel ishir, you're yotze, even though you weren't intending to blow a shofar for the mitzvah purpose.
This contradicts the thing a few pages ago, if you're walking by a shul and you hear
it. Ah, yafe. Exactly. And that's what the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara is going to bring, here we can look on our sheet, but I don't remember how many. The Gemara is going to bring a whole slew of kushiyot on this statement of Rava. They're going to say, Rava, how did you say mitzvot ein srichot kavana? We have a lot of sources that seem to indicate that you do need kavana for mitzvot, and this is a real basic question about mitzvot. And there's distinctions between different types of mitzvot also, what kind of kavana you need for them. And we're going to get into all different types of kavanot, okay? So let's start here. First question, Etive. Haya kore b'Torah. They're going to bring a whole slew of Tanaitic sources. Okay, haya kore b'Torah. If you're reading from the Torah, v'higia zman ha-mikra, and it came time for to read Kriyat Shema, and you get specifically to the part about Shema Yisrael in the Torah. Im ki ben libo yatsa, v'im lav lo yatsa. So here you go. You're reading the Torah. You read Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and you read the paragraph of Shema. Are you yotze your chiyuv of Kriyat Shema? So it depends. If while you're reading the Torah you said, oh, it's Sman Kriyat Shema, I'm going to be Yotze. Great. If not, not. So the Gemara says, my love, ki ben libo latze. Doesn't it mean whether you were mitzkaven to get the mitzvah or not? So they say, lo likrot. It meant, did you have kavana to read? What do you mean, the Gemara asks? Likrot? Hakakari. What do you mean? It said he was reading. Of course he had intent to read. In other words, they're trying to say, the act that we're talking about of kavana is not the act to be Yotze the mitzvah. It's kavanah to do the actual act. In other words, did you have kavanah to read? So what do you mean, did you have kavanah to read? He was reading. So what do they say? Bekore lahagia. He was reading to. So now it's exactly how you read lahagia, how you translate it. But he was trying to, like, fix the text or check the text. He was, like, scanning it, sort of. He wasn't really reading. He wasn't really saying the words, maybe. It's not clear. But if he gets to that part and he says, oh, let me read this section, even if he wasn't saying, I'm going to read this section for Kriyat Shema, but I'm going to read. Some people say when you're reading it, Lahagia, you're not being careful about how you pronounce the words. Okay, maybe that was the issue. But if he decided in that section, I'm going to read this very carefully, even if he wasn't intending to be Yotze Kriyat Shema, then he would be Yotze. Okay, so therefore, what do you see? You don't need kavana for the mitzvah. You need kavana for what? For the act. You have to intend to do that act. You have to intend to blow the shofar. Now, you might be blowing it because you like the music, but at least you intended to blow the shofar or the food. You intended to eat. Now, it's true, you didn't want to eat. You didn't, right? But you did the act of eating. Or here, you did the act of reading. So once you do the act itself, it doesn't matter whether you intended it for a mitzvah or not. That's still okay. Tashma haya over acharei beit hakneset. Exactly what Shari asked. What about our Mishnah? If you were passing behind the beit kneset, oshaya beito samuch le beit hakneset v'shama kol shofar o kol megillah, im kiven libo yatzah v'im lav lo yatzah. Right? If you say, I'm going to be yotzei the mitzvah of Megillah, I'm going to be yotzei the mitzvah of tkiyat shofar yotzah, and if not, not. Again, my lav im kiven libo latzeit, isn't it that you're mikaven libo latzeit, that's what we're talking about? Lo lishmoa. It just meant, did you intend to listen? Did you say, oh, that sounds nice, I'm going to listen to this? Okay? And it doesn't mean that you intended to do the mitzvah, it just meant you intended to listen. Lishmoa v'hashama. The whole case is, read the words, he was going past a Beit Knesset and he heard the sound of a Megillah, or he heard the sound of a shofar. He clearly heard. What do you mean if he intended to hear? He heard. It says it explicitly. So what did they say? Savor chamor ba'almahu. It's true he heard, but what did he hear? Did he understand what he was hearing? Did he think maybe what he heard was just a chamor going by? Okay, it's a little harder with the Megillah case to think he heard something other than someone reading the Megillah. But if you heard the sound of a shofar, maybe he just heard a sound. He didn't know that the sound was coming from a shofar. So you have to know what you're hearing. But once you know it's a shofar, then you should be able to be yotzei. So again, it's not a contradiction anymore to Rava, because we can explain it away that he didn't know. He knew it was a shofar, but it's not that he had intent to be yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. He just had to have intent to know that it was a shofar. Again, these answers are more complicated. The questions are much better than the answers. And the question really is, how does Rava say mitzvot lav tzrichot kavana when we see that these Tanaitic sources clearly indicated that you need some, that in order to be yotzei in certain situations, you need to have some sort of kavana?
It's also complex because at some point you can go and become intent. Like if you're walking by and you hear a shofar, at first you don't know, but then you can say, oh, you can transform your state from having no intent to having intent.
Right, so then the question goes back to what we talked about, half a blast, the whole blast, right? That maybe in the beginning you didn't have intent and then you turned into intent. Or we talked about the Megillah, you know, how could you hear part of the Megillah? It must be he was hearing the whole Megillah because you have to hear all the words, so it's a little strange what happened there. Okay. Etive. Nitzkaven l'shomea v'lo nitzkaven mashmia. Mashmia v'lo nitzkaven shomea lo yatza ad shitkaven shomea u'mashmia. Okay, now, both the listener and the shofar blower have to have intent, the shomea to be yotzei, and the mashmia, the one blowing, to be motzi others. Now, if he didn't have intent for you, or you didn't have intent to be yotzei, then you're not yotzei. So, bishlama mitzkaven mashmia v'lo nitzkaven shomea. We understand in the case where the shofar blower had intent, but you didn't have intent. What would that mean if we say mitzvot lav tzrichot kavana, in tzrichot kavana? So what would we say? We'd say, it means you have to have kavana that it wasn't a chamor, right? You have to know that it was a shofar. Ela nitkaven shomea v'lo nitkaven mashmia hechi mishkachala. How could you say that the guy didn't have intent to be motzi, right? If you were listening to the shofar, but he wasn't trying to intend to be motzi you, la b'tokea lashir, isn't this someone who's blowing the shofar just for singing purposes? And then what do you see here? If you don't have kavana, right, to be motzi others, then it's no good. And what did Rava say? Ha'tokea lashir is yatza. So this big question for Rava. Dilma de kaman bach nivuche. Okay, Rashi explains something strange here. He says, Your tokel, what's barking is short barks. You were blowing toot, 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 toot. Very short barks, very short shofar blows, not long enough to be a shear. Now, it doesn't make any sense what Rashi's saying, because how could you even think you'd be yotzei? If you don't have a shear of a tkia, then obviously you're not yotzei. So a lot of them are fresh and explain Rashi is what Rashi means is that you intended just to blow some short blows, but they came out longer. Okay, and then we're talking about that you're not yotzei because your intent was to blow short blows even, right? It doesn't matter whether you were blowing up for the mitzvah or not, but you intended not to have actually long enough blows to be yotze shofar. And not because you were thinking about that, right? You intended to have 2 second shofar blows. Let's just give an example. Let's say a shofar blow, I don't remember how long it is, but let's say it's 3 seconds. You intended to sing a song, you know, you had this piece you were playing for some, I don't know, for your own pleasure, and the piece had shofar blows of 2 seconds long, and you messed up, and they came out 3 seconds long, and that's what you didn't have kavana for. In other words, you didn't have kavana to actually blow a real shofar blow. In the end, you did, but because you didn't have the kavana to do that, and you were supposed to blow these two ones, and it didn't, it's not considered. Okay, again, the answer is a little complicated, not as convincing. Amale Abaye, now Abaye asks another question. Elameata hayashem b'shmini b'suka yilke. Ah, what do you say then? If mitzvot lo tzrichot kavana, ein tzrichot kavana, then what? Mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, there's this whole issue of bal tosif. If you stay in the sukkah an extra day, then with intent to fulfill the mitzvah, right, then you're over on bal tosif. You're not allowed to add. So what if you sleep the night of Shemini Atzeret in the sukkah just because it's beautiful outside and you want to sleep in the sukkah? You should get malkot. And we know you don't. Okay? So he says, if mitzvah lo tzrichot kavana, then you've basically done a mitzvah without intent, and by doing that mitzvah and making sukkahs 8 days, you've been mosif on the mitzvah of sukkah. So now we're not just taking mitzvah don't need kavana, but to be over on bal tosif, to add to a mitzvah, you also wouldn't need kavana then. Samar lo, shani omer, mitzvot eino over alein ela bizmanam. Bal tosif, now there's a whole issue of bal tosif. What's considered bal tosif? So he says, bal tosif is only when you add something at the time of the mitzvah. Here you're adding on to Sukkot after the mitzvah is already over. That's not bal tosif, and therefore it's not a problem. That's Rava's answer. Mativ Rav Shem ben Bar Abba. Rav Shem Bar Abba now asks a question on this. What does he say? Minayin lekohen sheole leduchan, shelo yomar ho'il v'natna li Torah v'shut levarecha Yisrael osif bracha acha mishali, kigon Hashem elokei avotechem yosef alechem. If a Kohen wants to say, listen, God gave me the ability to bless Yisrael, I'm going to give them another bracha in addition to the three. I'm going to add this bracha in Dvarim, Hashem elokei avotechem, yosef alechem, etc. Tamud lamar lo tosifu ala davar. You can't add. V'ha hacha kevan debarech leh, if he already blessed them and he finishes brachot, avra lezmane. Already the time has passed and there wouldn't be an issue of bal tosif kan. And the Braita says there is bal tosif. He finishes 3 brachot, the mitzvah's over, he's now not in the time of the mitzvah. Hacha b'mayaskinam b'delo siyem. It must be he hasn't finished doing the bracha yet, and he adds them in the middle. B'ha tanya, but there's a brayta where it talks about this case and actually says explicitly siyem. So they say, oh, maybe siyem bracha achat. He finished 1 bracha, but he didn't move on to the next one yet. B'ha tanya, but there's another brayta, siyem kol brachotav. It actually says explicitly he finished all of them. Shane hacha, kevan je'ilu mitramele tzibur achrina, hadr mevarech kule yoma. Hadamavarech, since if a new tzibor came, he'd be allowed to bless them also. So kule yomas manehu, you'd say that the entire day is zman for him to be blessing the people. And therefore, you can always be over on bal tosif at any point during the day, since the whole day is a potential for him to do the mitzvah. So now they say, umenatemra, how do you know that this concept, as long as you can fulfill this mitzvah all day long, then you can be over on bal tosif? Okay, you know what, I'm going to stop here because I see we're getting late and we'll start from here tomorrow. But what we're going to get into, just as an intro, when you give these matanot on the korban, you put the dam, you pour it into the karnot mizbeach. We learned in the past, sometimes there's 1, sometimes there's 2 karnot, sometimes there's 4. So what if blood mixes in between one that's supposed to have 1 and one that's supposed to have 4? There's a machloket about, do you do 1 or do you do 4? And one says it's bal tosif and one says it's bal tigra. And you have a problem with each shita because aren't you bal tosif, aren't you bal tigra? And then they start to explain, and the whole issue is we're going to try to show. Here you see that there's an issue of bal tosif, right? It's whether we're going to get into this issue of if you say you still have the potential for the whole day, then is there an issue of bal tosif? Is there not? Well, we'll get into it from this mission. Okay.